Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and then we're going to turn to one other passage. Romans 8, verses 9 through 12. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Now turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to read the last two verses together. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. I'll read verse 19. You join me on verse number 20. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And let's pray. Father, again, we do need you tonight. Holy Spirit of God, sanctify these next few moments of preaching. I pray that we would listen with a spiritual ear as well as our physical ear and our mental ear. May we be attentive to what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to start the sermon tonight with a statement that may shock you. It may, but I want you to listen to it very carefully. I am sick and tired of religion. It was the religious leaders who wanted Jesus killed. More people have been killed in the name of religion than in the name of politics. Religion is man's attempt to satisfy God man's way. Religion is man's attempt to satisfy God man's way. You see, we've seen religion creep into what used to be fundamental independent Baptist churches. We have churches who, Baptist churches, now wanting to impress people of means to come and stay in their churches. Folks, we're not here to go reach any certain class of people. We're supposed to reach everybody. Amen. Do you know no spirit walks around with one of those in their pocket? God doesn't care how much they're worth or how little they're worth. I've had people come to me, Pastor, how do you witness to someone who's a millionaire? The same way you witness to somebody who's living on the street. You're a sinner bound for hell, and if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're going there. I don't hold back from them. You say, well, that's not real cultured. Guess what? I've seen cultured people, and you can be down and out or up and out, but either way you're out, you got to get saved. God is no respecter of persons. Amen? I haven't got to the preaching yet. We're still in the introduction. We have Baptist churches who have robe choirs, high-tech auditoriums, and more scholarly teaching than fiery preaching, and religion has crept into our ranks. I happened to listen to Brother Hiles about 15 years ago, and he said, it's time fundamentalists quit trying to be scholarly and get back into be spiritual. Amen. Well, we now have fundamentalists who have turned scholarly. Well, those are the people that accuse me of being shallow, but guess what? People are still getting saved. Amen. You can accuse me of anything you want. I've had better people than that accuse me of something too. Everybody doing all right? We've allowed our children and preachers to be biblically educated by non-Baptist people. I hate to tell you something, but the average Christian education isn't Baptist. We've let the neos and the non-denominationalists educate our kids to where they don't want to come back to a Baptist church. I've looked at the average... I looked at what most mainline Christian colleges use for the philosophy of education, and was written by neo-evangelicalists that don't even believe in the Baptist church. And we wonder why Christian schools are hard to hold on to. Then we give them a Becca curriculum that's written by non-denominationalists and non-Baptists. Everybody doing all right? You say, you mentioned names. I can give you a whole lot more if you want. Now, hang on. They want to be, well, we need to become all things to all men so their offerings can increase. They're chasing after the almighty dollar instead of chasing after souls. I'm not against big buildings. I'm not against nice buildings. But when you sink more money into your buildings than you do to reaching people, something's wrong. Something's wrong. I agree. To house a church, you have to have a fairly large facility. It's going to take money. It takes money to run a church. Yes, it does. But we're not supposed to cater to the money. We're supposed to go after lost souls, let God bring people in who can help us, and it's every Christian's job to do their part. Everybody doing all right? By the way, those that have built their big buildings, why have they ceased to go after the poor people? They're stopping their reaching of the poor. They seem to only go after, well, we've got to reach the upper middle class. People are forgetting the upper middle class. Well, I'm for reaching the upper middle class, the upper class, the middle class, the lower middle class, and the lower class, and the lowest of the low. Let's go reach them all. Let's let God bring the increase. They may have their fancy buildings and their big crowds, but is the Holy Spirit working? That is the question. You see, these churches and religious people measure God's blessing by what they get. That's an important statement. Religion measures success by what they get. God measures blessings by what he can do through you. God measures spirituality not by what you get, but what he can do through you. The Holy Spirit does not come and do things for you primarily. God gave the Holy Spirit to come and do things through you. Religion wants to work, wants the work of God done for them. Christianity is here to be done through you. Jesus came not to suck up everything people could give him. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come as a reservoir for everybody to dump their riches into. He came as a conduit to be worked through. You see, we are supposed to be a supply line, a pipe, a conduit, a water main to which the blessings of God and the power of God flows through. We are not supposed to be a reservoir like the Dead Sea that just sucks up everything that runs into it. Everybody doing all right? See, religion says, let's be a reservoir. Oh, we need a reservoir of love. They use those big fancy words, amen? Can I tell you what a reservoir is? It's a hole in the ground with a lot of water. You're not supposed to be a reservoir of love. You're supposed to be a water main where the water just keeps on flowing through. I am not supposed to be some big pond somewhere, sitting there getting bigger. I'm supposed to be a mainline water that when God needs it somewhere, he opens it up and it flows through me. And that is what the Holy Spirit is. He did not come primarily to do things for you. He came to work through you. The Holy Spirit was given to encourage, to comfort, to strengthen, to teach, to guide and lead, and to help. But I want you to realize, he didn't come just to comfort you. He came to comfort through you. He didn't come just to encourage you. He came to use you to encourage someone else. These people that get up in church, oh, I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it, I got it. They didn't get it because he didn't give it to just give it to them. He gave it to them to use to help somebody else. If all you're doing is sitting there sucking it up and not doing anything with it, it's not the Holy Ghost. Everybody doing all right? I'm about to have fun. The Holy Spirit did not come primarily to do something for you. He came to do something through you. Now, we learned in Scripture, and I'll show you this. I'm getting to the main part of the message. Number one, the saved person's body is the body for the Holy Spirit. Your body is the body of the Holy Spirit of God. Take your Bibles where we were, Romans chapter 8. Now, if any man, verse number 9, the last part of it, have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him, notice capital S, that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you. The Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. What Spirit was that? That's the Holy Spirit. You ready? Watch this. Where was I? Raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Know ye not that your body is the temple, the tabernacle, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit of God? When you got saved, something took place. The Holy Spirit of God moved inside your body. The moment you trusted Christ, the act of trusting Christ, the Holy Spirit moved in. He regenerated your spirit. He redeemed it. He gave it eternal genetics. And he now dwells inside of you, no matter where you go, no matter what you do. It is he that dwells in you. But he didn't come just to stay inside you so you could say, I got him. I got him. I got him. There is a purpose for him being inside of you. Now, did you know that you can't spiritually clean your house? You can't sit down on your recliner and say, okay, my spirit's going to go clean the house. Did you know, fellas, you can't go to your boss tomorrow and say, well, I'm going to spiritually do my job. I'm going to sit here and do nothing while my spirit does the work. Your spirit does your work through your body. May I say this? The Holy Spirit does his work through his body, which is the body of the believers. Everybody doing all right? Ladies, you didn't go home this afternoon and say, okay, we're going to spiritually cook food today. No, you had to use your body to cook the food. I was supposed to grill steaks today. And the preacher didn't listen to his wife and go check the fuel on the gas to make sure there was fuel yesterday. So we ended up cooking them inside instead of outside. Amen? You say, why? Because I'm a man, I didn't listen to her. Man, I thought I was eating steak. I ended up eating crow. Now, wait a minute. You don't spiritually cook anything. You have to use your body. To do your work, you must use your body. By the way, that would be a good thing for America to learn. Be a good thing for our president to learn. Everybody's supposed to work. You don't work, you don't eat. Don't care what the reason. It would generate a lot of business. It would generate a lot of work. And we would have more get done around here than we've ever seen. We could kick those idiots out of Congress that aren't working. Amen? Just thought I'd throw that out there. You say, well, when I got saved, I didn't realize the Holy Spirit moved inside my body. Did you know that somebody could come inside your house and you not know it? You say, no, my house. Oh, yeah, they could. They could. Just because you don't recognize it doesn't mean he's not there. He's dwelling inside you. So, first of all, is this. A saved person's body is the body of the Holy Spirit. By the way, that's why you're supposed to take care of this. That's why you're supposed to take care of your body, because that's the body of the Holy Spirit. That's why we're supposed to dress by our gender. You know, ladies, you're not supposed to walk around half naked. By the way, men, you aren't either. Ain't nothing worse than a hairy-legged man walking around, amen? Good night. We're supposed to keep our bodies covered because it is the body of the Holy Spirit. You Baptists preach these standards. And yeah, we do. You're supposed to look like a lady if you're a lady. You're supposed to look like a man if you're a man. Fellas, learn to walk like a man. Shake hands like a man. Cut your hair like a man. Don't look like you got in a fight with a weed eater and a pop rivet gun. Amen? Good night. We're getting back to where it was in the 70s where long hair's coming back. Lord have mercy. You know, and there's nothing worse than some 60-year-old with a ponytail down to his waist. I want to walk up and just cut that thing off. Amen? Snip, and it's done. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians that a hair is a woman's glory. If your glory is your hair, fellas, you're in trouble. You got a little bit too much woman in you. Time to get a pair of cowboy boots and walk like a man. Amen? Come on, fellas, I'm trying to help you. All right. Ladies, we're supposed to keep our bodies covered. Men, keep your bodies covered. Good night. Our country has gotten to the point where nudity is accepted. It's not acceptable. It's not acceptable. I'll throw that in another sermon later. So, the saved person's body is the body of the Holy Spirit. By the way, that means, let me ask you this question. Where did you take the Holy Spirit this week? Where did you take the Holy Spirit this week? Did it go somewhere it should not have gone? What did you take the Holy Spirit to see or listen to? Boy, it's getting quiet in here. Number two, moving on. I have 6 or 7 points, so hang in here. The Holy Spirit came to comfort through you, not just comfort you. Oh, I just need the Holy Spirit to comfort me. You need the Holy Spirit to comfort you so you can learn how to comfort somebody else. Turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'm not going to use scripture with all of these tonight, but I just want to hit this and move. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse number 4. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. God said he'll come and give you comfort so you can go out and comfort others by the comfort you got. Can I tell you how you got comfort? It wasn't through a whiskey bottle either. It was by the Holy Spirit of God. Whiskey bottle never comforted anybody. The Holy Spirit comforts people. Folks, can I tell you something? God will bring things in your life so that you can go through them and you can either suck it up like a reservoir or be a conduit, be a pipe, be open for God to use it to help anybody else that's in the same problem you're in or even any other. Right. Notice it says there that you may be able to help for them that are in any tribulation. Did you know I may have never lost a mom to death, but I comfort a lot of people who have lost moms to death? You know, I've never lost a dad in death yet. But you know what? I've comforted a lot of people who've lost their daddies in death. I've not lost a brother or a sister. I can't lose a sister because I don't have one. But I've lost many loved ones. But may I say this? I don't have to have experienced that, but I've been at the bedside of many people who've died. I've lost a pastor to death. I've lost many folks that I love. May I say this? I'm able to comfort others because I decided to take the comfort I got and let God work through me, not suck it up like a reservoir. We Christians are so selfish. We're like the religious people. You know, who have you comforted lately? Who does God want you to comfort that you're not comforting? Who will God use you to comfort if you just listen to the Holy Spirit? The devil was working on me pretty hard yesterday. I knew I was supposed to go visit somebody. I said, Lord, I'm a little uncomfortable, but I'm going to go. They need help. I feel like I'm barging in, but I'll try. Got most of the way there and got my truck stuck. Had to call Brother Barnes to get me out of the ditch. Amen. Got out of the ditch. I thought, I'm ready to go home. I'm cold. My feet are wet. I'm hurting. No, I'm this close. I'm going to go do. I'm not letting the devil stop me. Now, a lot of people would turn around and gone home. Say, what'd you do? I went and knocked on the door. I was supposed to knock on. Try to help somebody. Say, why? Because they needed help. Say, did you get? I didn't get as far as I wanted to get, but I got some help in the door. Amen. Now, wait a minute. Are you so selfish that you're only looking to get comfort? Well, I went and the preacher didn't give me everything I wanted. I only got this out of it and I didn't get everything. Wait a minute. I thought the purpose was to come to get the help so you could help somebody else. Boy, that's a good statement. The Holy Spirit came to comfort. Why don't you learn to comfort through instead of just receive comfort? Why don't you learn to be a conduit, a pipe, versus a big reservoir? The average Christian wants to be a reservoir instead of a pipe. I want to be a pipe, not the kind Brother Hawkins smokes either. I want to be that giant water main to where the blessing and the Holy Spirit of God flows through me. Can I tell you how you know if it's the Holy Spirit or not? Is he working through you or just coming to you? Guess what? As I learn to comfort other people, when I need comfort, it's there. It's there. I faced a little trial myself this week. Just a little one. And a preacher friend of mine said, Brother Bush, the Lord's put you on my heart. I said, good. I said, I was going through a little turmoil that I needed. I said, thanks for being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He called me and said, Brother Bush, if that's all that I could ever do is just know that the Holy Spirit used me to help you. He said, you don't know how many times your text, your call, your this, your that has been there to help me. He said, thanks for letting me help. I said, you'll never know, but you did. I appreciate it. I wasn't asking him. I didn't ask anybody. I just said, Lord, who can I go help? Who can I go help? That's all I cared about. Number two, the Holy Spirit wants to encourage through you. I just need God to encourage me. Maybe if you would go out and start encouraging somebody else, you would get encouraged. Let me ask you a question. Who have you encouraged today? Can I tell you why I stay on topside? Because I try to encourage you. And as I'm preaching, you encourage me, some of you. I'll hear Brother Hawkins down there every once in a while. Amen, preacher, or somebody else. Somebody this morning I was preaching on love, and I said something about loving you, and one of our dear ladies over here, we love you, preacher. Man, I was about ready to come unscrewed at that point in time. I had to ignore it so I didn't have a spell. Can I tell you something? My job's to encourage you. And as you encourage me, I encourage you. Now, whether you encourage me or not, I'm going to encourage you. But I think in the encouraging of you, I find encouragement. Let me ask you a question. Who went unencouraged today because you didn't encourage them? I'm not going to look at anybody. Who could walk through the doors of this church and you would ignore them versus encouraging them? Now, you can't say that I preached at you and I looked at you when I said it. Amen. There's not a human being on the face of the earth that couldn't walk through those doors right there, sit down in these pews, and I would not be sincerely happy that they were here. And believe me, I've got some enemies. I've had them for a long time. There's not a one of them. I'd be happy. Now, I can't tell you I'd ask them to go teach Sunday school next week, but I'd be happy they were here. I would be cordial. Everybody doing all right? It seems like I seek to encourage, and God always gives me somebody to encourage, so he answers my prayer. You know, every day I ask God for me to help encourage somebody. The other day I went down to Food Lion to get some water, and I thought, man, it's getting cold, it's getting rainy, it's kind of, you know, it was that raw, wet, half rain, half sleet time, and the wind was blowing about 30 mile an hour, and the sleet would hit you on this side of your face and come out that side of your face. And I thought, oh, Lord, I asked you to encourage somebody, but this weather's not real encouraging right now. I was walking up the Food Lion up the road up here. Where am I at? Yeah, up that way. And all of a sudden, this fellow come working out. He must have worked with one of the county or something or other. Big old yellow and orange vest on. He said, "Man, starting to get nasty out here, isn't it?" I said, "It's getting a little raw." He said, "Excuse me? A little raw?" I said, "You know what?" I said, "When you're saved and you're a Baptist preacher," I said, "you got an awful lot to be thankful for." I said, "My in-laws live in Minnesota and it's about 22 below right now." He said, "I ain't got nothing to complain about. Thanks, man." Now, that wasn't a whole lot encouraging, but it did encourage him, amen? Just a little bit. You know, I don't know how to ask this. If you need encouraged, come see me. I'll encourage you. But too many people go from person to person to person to person. "I'm depressed. Will you encourage me? I'm depressed. Will you encourage me? I'm depressed." Well, no wonder. Can I tell you how to get out of your depression? Go home and make some cookies. And then go find somebody that you don't know and say, "God, I just wanted you to have these." And you take these cookies to somebody and you give them and say, "God loves you and I just wanted to encourage you." Boy, if that doesn't encourage you, nothing will. If that doesn't work, go make some brownies and bring them by the preacher's office. And encourage somebody. Go give them. You say, "Well, I wouldn't know who to go give them to." You got a neighbor? Brother Hawkins, you're not allowed to have them. Folks, if you'd get off looking at your own self and start looking to help somebody else, you would find the encouragement you need. The process of being an encourager will give you the encouragement you seek. We are seeking encouragement the wrong way. Get. No, you get encouraged by giving. That's how you know it's the Holy Spirit. I try to encourage a bunch of preachers. In the process, they encourage me. I encourage them, they encourage me. I encourage them, they encourage me. Guess what? We don't all have down days at the same time, but when somebody's got a down day, it seems like the encouragement comes back around just when you need it. Say why? Because you seek to encourage somebody. All right, number next. The Holy Spirit wants to strengthen through you, not just give strength to you. Let me ask you a question. Who have you strengthened today? Brother Gus, as you taught Sunday school, you were strengthening people. There's days he doesn't feel like teaching Sunday school, trust me. I've taught Sunday school a long time. There's many times you teach Sunday school, you don't feel like teaching Sunday school. But while you're teaching Sunday school, guess what? You forgot that you didn't want to teach Sunday school. You find this strength inside. You say, why? Because you're trying to give strength to somebody else. I don't ask for physical strength. Okay. Teenage boys, you know, they go through this phase. "I'm going to lift weights. I'm going to get big bulging muscles." The only muscle that they're bulging is their head. I'm not against lifting weights. I'm not against exercise. I'm for those things. I love watching other people do it. I'm not against it. I'm for being physically active, healthy. I'm for all those things. Can I tell you something? At 47 years old, I plan on staying healthy physically, not so that I can say, you know, I'm not going to be an 80-year-old Jack LaLanne, you know, doing jumping jacks all the time. Amen. Good night. I have no desire to be and I'm definitely not going to be Richard Simmons, amen? Sweating with the oldies, you know, and milking the Fruit Loops or whatever, you know. That guy's a little strange, but can I tell you something? I plan on keeping myself healthy so I can help more people. My whole goal to stay healthy, and you can ask God, I say, "Lord, keep me well, keep me strong so I can help more people." I went through 3 weeks of walking pneumonia, and the whole time I had it, I was saying, "God, let me get to the pulpit one more time. Let me help one more person. God, please give me enough strength to make it a little longer so I can help more people." I didn't miss one preaching service, and I didn't have voice for over 2.5 weeks. I'd walk to the pulpit. I'd be talking like this. I'd go to preaching. I was as strong as I am right now. Can I tell you why? That's the Holy Spirit of God, because I wasn't asking for me, I was asking for you. I was asking to help and strengthen somebody else. Can I tell you how to get strong? Go help somebody else. Go help somebody else. These great big bodybuilders. You watch them with their bulging muscles, and they, you know, it's like they spray paint their muscles on and everything. It's amazing what happens. You get into powerlifting and weightlifting. If you get into it serious and you stop, ain't one of those guys that are fit and trim after that. It turns to fat real quick. You got to be careful. I'm not against using weights. I'm not. But may I say this? If there's a, I know guys who could lift lots of weight, but they couldn't work 5 minutes. There's a difference in being strong to work and being able to lift weights. I know guys that can deadlift 500-600 pounds, and I could work them under the table in 4 hours. Guarantee it. They don't have a physical body. Now, did you ever meet one of those scrawny little farmers? Don't get in a fight with one of them guys. They'll beat the tar out of you. They can pick up a tractor and throw on you. They eat barbed wire when they have to, amen? Those guys are tough. Can I tell you why? They know how to use every bit of strength they have, and they use it every day. Their whole body is strong, not just zoned out. Now, next. By the way, I beg my God for health to be strong enough to help you. I do. Man, I'm careful. I wash my hands so much, I'm afraid I'm going to lose all the skin on my hands, like Brother Wiley, amen? I mean, after church, I shake hundreds and hundreds of hands, and I'm with people, and I'm around germs. It's a miracle I'm not sick all the time. But I believe God preserves my health so I can help you be strong. Amen? Next, number four. The Holy Spirit longs to teach through you, not just teach truth to you. Did you know that you're not supposed to be a reservoir of truth? Can I show you what's wrong with the average educator in America? They're a stagnant pond. They're not a they're not a pipe that flows. You go to the average college professor. They're about as dead as Christmas trees from 6 years ago. They're dry, dusty. They have a lot of facts up there, but they don't know how to use one thing they know. And if you ask them a question outside of that, well, that's not my area of expertise. Gag. I'm a general practitioner, and it's going to keep flowing through me, amen? Who have you shared truth with lately? Can I tell you why I get more truth? So I can teach more truth? I'm not here to impress you with truth. I'm here to get it so I can use it to help somebody. Say, well, I don't teach a Sunday school class. You have a wife, you have children, you have a neighbor. Go tell them. Can I tell you why soul winning is important? Because you can use truth that you learn in the Word of God as you read the Bible. If you'll just go soul winning, you'll learn how to teach somebody truth that you got. If you'll call your friends instead of talking gossip to them, talk truth, it's amazing. You know, I don't have preachers call me and tell me the latest scoop. Matter of fact, most of them don't want to because they know I won't listen to it. I told a few preacher friends of mine recently, I said, I thank God when we communicate, it's about truth. Brother Walters in Maine yesterday, he said, Brother Bush, he said, we're studying on this. Did you ever realize this? And he texted me a truth. I said, yeah, and that goes with this. And I said, I just preached a sermon a couple weeks ago on this, and it goes with that. He said, whoa. He said, that's going in my sermon tomorrow. Can I borrow that? I said, too late. You got it. I said, I don't care. Folks, I don't have the corner market on truth. It's all right there. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. If you'd learn to use Bible principles in all areas of your life, you'd have a whole lot more fun. Number five, and I got to hurry. The Holy Spirit is there to lead or guide through you, not just to you. I'm sick and tired of Baptists becoming Pentecostal with, oh, I feel led. I feel the leading of the Holy Spirit. God's leading me to do this. The only way he'll lead you to do it is through that book to help somebody else. It's amazing how somebody feels God's leading them to go somewhere because they want a better job. They're not satisfied with the one God gave them. Everybody doing all right? I'm not telling you everybody that leaves for another job is not in God's will. But I know this. Well, everything's just going wrong. God must not be in this. Tell that to Jesus. What good went right in his life? They end up killing him. He ran for his life so many times, it's not even funny. Everybody doing all right? Well, I just feel God leading me away. It's amazing how parents want to be led away from a strong church that preaches standards and convictions when their young people turn to become teenagers. I had a preacher tell me one day, matter of fact, I worked for him. He said, you just wait. When your kids become teenagers, you'll come to the reality of truth. You can't live like that the rest of your life. Well, hate to tell you, my last one, 17, graduating in just a few months, I made it. I folded up my Bible, slammed it on his desk, and said, that book didn't change, you did. I said, I'm not changing that book for you or for anybody else. I said, I won't change that book for my kids. He said, oh yeah, you will. I said, no, I won't. By the way, you can ask my kids. Didn't change the truth for my own kids. Well, I just feel God wants me to do something. 99% of everything God wants you to do is written in that book. You don't have to feel it. You got to read it. Amen. Your feeler could be wrong. That book's not. Amen. Your feeler relies on your perception, and most of the time your perception's not real good. Everybody doing all right? You just do what's in that book. God will forget. You know, if I only get a 99 instead of a 100, I'm going to be pretty happy when I get to heaven. Now, I don't even qualify for that, but I promise you one thing. I'd rather be guilty of only getting a 99 than getting a 1%. I'm not going to disobey 99% to find 1%. Boy, that's a good statement right there. I don't trust my feeler. Sometimes my feeler's broke. Sometimes my feeler's hurting, amen? We need to be in the Bible more so God can lead you more by the Holy Spirit. And by the way, he'll lead and guide you through the Word of God, through the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God, through the reading of the Word of God. He's not going to lead you outside that book, just so you know. And number 6, and I'm done. Man, I really messed that thing up, didn't I? I had a minute. The Holy Spirit wants to help through you. Did you know the Holy Spirit came to help, but he didn't just come to help you, he came to help through you?
Right.
Oh. Dear friend of mine, when we were in Bible college, he said, we were driving to or from work one day and he stopped on the side of the road on Route 30. I said, what are you doing? He said, I drove past that piece of trash back there and the Holy Spirit told me to stop and pick that thing up. He said, I disobeyed him. I got to go back. Jumped out of the car, ran a quarter mile back, picked it up, shoved it in his pocket, and went on. I said, man, you're crazy. He said, I want to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that if I won't stop and pick up a piece of paper, what else will he tell me to do that I won't do? Ooh. Man, you talk about a knife through my heart. I learned something. I want to be so sensitive that if I'm walking somewhere, it happened to me this week. I was walking through the building. I was walking from my office into here, and there was something out here in the Bay Area. I walked right past it. The Holy Spirit said, pick it up. I said, nah. Mrs. Hess or Brother Ron will pick it up this week. He said, too good to pick it up. Turned the lights on in this room. Did what I needed to do. I was going to be in here a few minutes. He said, You can go by yourself then. You won't even pick up a piece of paper. I walked out into the cold room out there, picked up the piece of paper, threw it away, and said, I obeyed. Not like I should have, but I obeyed. Came back in, got done what I needed to get done. You know what? I want to be that sensitive. How about you? I want to be able to help somebody in need. The other morning, a lady was at Sheets. She had gotten a cup of coffee and she was fumbling through her purse. And obviously, she was not a wealthy person. I looked at the lady behind the counter and with my eyes got her attention. I said, I'll pay for it. And she said, oh, ma'am, today that one's free. She said, but she said, no, it's free. It's okay. Oh, thank you. She walked off and I paid for it. I said, thank you. I said, thanks for letting me be a blessing to somebody. Can I tell you something? I don't know that lady. Don't need to know her. I just wanted to help. Just wanted to help. You can do nice things for lost people. You can do nice things for strangers. You can do nice things for people you know. You can do nice things for people that live in your own house. Did you know that? That's preaching, isn't it, Tammy? Time to get it, Ron. Time to get it. If you don't get it, you're going to get it. Folks, did you know you can do nice things for your enemy? I have a person that does not like my internal organs. Recently, I found out that they have a need. You know that I went and bought a card, wrote in my own handwriting that I was praying for them and that I love them, and I did not sign my name. I did not put my return address on it. Matter of fact, I went to a different town than Martinsburg and mailed it so that they wouldn't be able to track it. Because if they knew who it was, they might get upset. But I thought maybe I could encourage them when they're hurting. Say, you do something like that? Yeah. My enemy has hurts too. Just because they don't like me doesn't mean they're a bad person. I'd like them to know somebody prayed for them. Somebody cares about them. Say, oh, bet you that was hard. No. Can I tell you what was hard? I wasn't able to put my name on it. Wasn't able to go knock on their door and tell them I love them. Wasn't able to call them on the phone and tell them how much I really do care. That's what hurt me. I wished I could do more. The Holy Spirit did not primarily come to work to you. He came to work through you. Do you want to be a conduit or do you want to be a reservoir? I don't know about you. I like being a conduit. I love seeing God just go, whew. I sit back and say, wow, that's fun. Wow, that's fun. You know, this morning I told the story of the guy, you ain't never met my boss. I said, yeah, you ought to work for mine. He thought, oh, here's another guy to bet. I said, yeah, mine's never wrong. That's the problem. I'm always wrong. He said, oh, you don't do that kind of stuff, do you? Yeah, I do. Can I tell you why? Because I want the Holy Spirit to work through me. He didn't come just to do something for me. He came to do it through me. And in the doing of it through me, I generally find what I need from him. There's enough water in that tube to take care of me as well. Matter of fact, I usually end up with a cleaner tube because he went through me versus just it sitting there. Do you know a water pipe's cleaner than a reservoir? You'll be a cleaner Christian. I started with the fact, I'm sick and tired of religion. Can I tell you why? Religion's a reservoir. Christianity's supposed to be a conduit. Amen. Let me ask you a question. You want the Holy Spirit to work through you or just do something for you? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I hope you feel convicted tonight. I hope that the Holy Spirit bothers you tonight. I hope that we'll decide to quit being selfish Christians and start letting God do something through us, not just begging Him like an Aladdin, rubbing the lamp to get the genie to come out and give us what we want. He might give us more of what we want if we give what we have away and let Him work through us. More apt to be that way.